Hey, a 21-13 win for Jacksonville. We talked about it on Tuesday. Kind of cool for them in a national audience, young quarterback on a national audience, all of that, and to do it at home. It was actually kind of cool to see Jacksonville win yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was, look, it wasn't a ringing endorsement for the current state of NFL football. I mean, that was going to be an ugly game. But I've been very impressed with the amount of emotion that they show on the sidelines. I mean, last week they went into Baltimore, lost that game, but stayed in it throughout. I mean, they were faking punts. They were faking field goals. They had an onside kick. That sideline was going bonkers the whole game. I mean, there's a level of enthusiasm and sort of this mind over matter thing that Gus Bradley has going on there, their head coach. And obviously they feed off that, and that's become the identity of their team. They've been more competitive, just like last year. Second half of the season, much more competitive than the first. And you can't go out losing your first seven or eight games every season like they've been doing. But their front seven is okay. I mean, they can be a difficult defense to play. They have issues, though, on the offensive side. There's just not a lot of skill there. There's not a lot of personnel there. That offensive line still needs to be rebuilt. The run game is obviously fits and spurts, and Toby Gerhardt's not the solution there. But, you know, Blake Bortles is an interesting prospect, and for a team that's 2-11 or whatever they were going into that game, to have that sort of atmosphere, good for them. But they've obviously got to have a big offseason there. They need another infusion of talent really all over their roster. And the expectation is going to be that has to be a more competitive football team next year. That'll be year three of this Bradley regime.
Let's get to games that are coming up tomorrow. We got two games on Saturday in Week 16 in the NFL, and both of them are pretty important. And we'll start with that game in the NFC. A 9-5 Philadelphia team takes on Washington at 3-11 for the Redskins. We know that it's a division game. We know there's going to be some different forms of motivation there. But this is just a no choice game for the Eagles. They have got to win this football game tomorrow.
They absolutely do. They can't afford a slip up. Mark Sanchez has turned the ball over quite a bit, and you know he can be serviceable, but he's not going to win you games. And when they can't win games with their running game, they get into trouble. When they fall behind early, they get into trouble. And we'll see what the short week brings for them. I mean, obviously in Washington, there's nowhere to go but up. I mean, I feel like this was a relatively drama-free week for them. I mean, other than Jay Gruden ripping the quarterback, but that's sort of become passé. So by their standards, it was, you know, not the worst week in the world. DeSean Jackson will be out to prove a point. He played great against the Eagles the first crack around. You know, RG3 in the past has been able to get the ball to him. Obviously, the great rookie year RG3 had. At that time, it was Pierre Garçon, but he showed the ability to get the ball downfield. And that DeSean is now that go-to guy in that offense. So we'll see how that works. You know, I don't know about their offensive line situation in Washington's pretty poor. So I don't know how they're going to block for RG3. But, yeah, look, the Eagles have no margin for error now. And we saw the Redskins on a Monday night go into Dallas and do something nobody thought they would do. So maybe they've got one more trick up their sleeve. And then the other game, you know, it's kind of the same situation. One team has everything on the line, and the other has nothing. 49ers are eliminated. And they're obviously going to have a new coach, and that roster is going to be gutted in the offseason. The Chargers can't afford to slip up. And, you know, Phillip Rivers is pretty banged up right now. For him to miss practice like he has, it's a pretty strong indicator that he's hurting. I'm sure he'll get shot up or whatever, and he's a warrior. Guy played with a torn ACL before. So, but his back and his torso area, something's not right. And, again, short week will do him no favors coming off a physical game last week. So we'll see if San Francisco can muster something there. Give their home fans something to take out of this season. It's the first season of Levi's Stadium. It's going to be remembered for everything other than football, unfortunately for them. But they haven't been nearly as good there as they were at Candlestick. But we'll see if that defense can rise up and maybe do something, because obviously offensively they're pretty limited right now.
He is Jason Lacanfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. We've got so many huge games on Sunday, and that NFC South, which is still hotly contested, if you can say that, for three teams well below 500. But we've got Cam Newton looking like he might start for Carolina versus Cleveland, while New Orleans and Atlanta playing one another. So how do you see things kind of shaking down when this weekend comes to an end in that NFC South?
You know, I don't know. I go back and forth and back and forth. Cam Newton looks like he's going to play, and I feel like Carolina can run the table, but that might not be good enough, you know, if somebody else in that division runs the table. I felt like Atlanta offensively was reaching a point where they could hang 30-something on anybody, even with their offensive line issues. But Julio Jones hasn't practiced at all this week. And if he does play, I can't imagine he's the Julio Jones we saw, you know, who Green Bay, last time we saw him was that Monday night in Green Bay where he almost single-handedly won that game back for Atlanta after they fell behind 34-7 or whatever. So I don't know. You know, if Atlanta was at full strength, I would like them a little bit more. I mean, the Saints at home is supposed to be a good thing. They've lost four in a row there. I mean, I don't know what to make of that division. A lot of people will be high on the Saints because of what they did to the Bears. Well, keep in mind, that was the Bears. That Bears defense can make a Pop Warner offense look good. So I really don't know. You know, we'll sit, we'll know more in 2 weeks. I kind of feel like Carolina's at least going to have an opportunity in week 17 to maybe control their own fate. We'll see.
Also on Sunday, and still on that NFC, it's a huge game between Arizona and Seattle. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This might be the biggest game of the weekend. What's your feel overall on this game? I guess there's a couple of different factors that could influence your feel on this game.
Yeah, I mean, you size it up and you say it's going to be a low-scoring game. Neither of these teams have prolific offense. Obviously, Arizona's down to their third and fourth string quarterbacks at this point. Not that that'll stop Bruce Arians from throwing the ball, but how effectively can they throw it? It's great to call those plays, but can they get the ball downfield at all? You know, Seattle, not as good on the road as at home, but obviously have won some big road games this season. And this is for all the marbles. They're as healthy as they've been really in quite some time. Yeah, their left tackle, Russell Okung, is going to miss this week, and that'll be a problem against this defense. But, you know, that's a 1 to 2 week injury, so they seem to be getting healthy at the right time. That bye, they can smell that bye and home field throughout the playoffs, which is a huge motivating factor for them. They took care of a couple of their key defensive players this week with extensions for Cliff Averill and K.J. Wright. You got a lot of guys feeling happy, feeling good. I think they gut this one out. I don't know that it'll be pretty, and I don't think Arizona will make it easy for them, but I feel like Seattle can score 17 to 20 points. I don't know that Arizona can.
So that's what's going on in the NFC as we shift to some of these big AFC matchups as well. I guess there's one AFC-NFC. That's Dallas-Indianapolis, both teams at 10-4. Obviously, one game means more to the Cowboys. Indianapolis looks a little kind of home and cooled right now in their division. I'm just curious, two very good teams going head-to-head with one another with maybe a little bit more on the line for one of those teams. How much does that factor into this game on Sunday?
I think it certainly does. I mean, this Colts team has been living very dangerously for a while now. You know, it took another sort of miracle comeback and a bunch of help from the Browns for them to win that game. Last week, I mean, I believe if Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't get hurt, that the Texans win that game. I mean, the Texans were starting to exert their will more and more, and then they lost, you know, two more quarterbacks in that game, which obviously helped the Colts out. So I feel like they're kind of a wounded team that their record doesn't reflect who they really are right now. They're going to have three offensive linemen out for this game, and trust me, their starters aren't very good. So whoever they're bringing in off the bench could be super scary for Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck gets hit a ton. As it stands, you know, T.Y. Hilton, he's questionable. My gut is they find a way to get him out there, but it could be a situation where if it's not going good early, he ends up getting yanked. I feel like Dallas is going to win this game, and Dallas is – look, you can say what you want about them in the past, but when they've needed a game this year, they've gone and gotten it, and they've often gotten it with some gusto. So, I think they're the better team, and DeMarco Murray is going to play, and they're going to try to run the ball down the Colts' throats, and I think they might be successful.
And then that big wild, I guess, has huge wild card implications in the AFC. 9-5 Pittsburgh, 8-6 Kansas City, and I'm curious as to how you see this one shaken down.
Well, I this is another one where I feel like Pittsburgh is the better team, and they've had a couple of times where they've stubbed their toes against, you know, the likes of Tampa Bay and Cleveland. But I mean, when they've played the better teams in the league, they've generally showed up. And Offensively, they're a handful, and Kansas City can't stop the run, and Le'Veon Bell's touching the ball about as much as anybody in the league other than DeMarco Murray. So they're going to have to prove they can stop him. Jamaal Charles has been a little bit dinged up for the Chiefs, and the biggest deficiency in Pittsburgh's entire roster is their secondary. It's kind of old and slow, and, you know, yeah, William Gay has been jumping a lot of, you know, routes and pick sixes here and there, but down in, down out, you can beat them there. Well, what can't the Kansas City Chiefs do? They can't complete a pass more than 10 yards downfield. They just can't. I mean, it's shocking. Yeah. So I just don't know that Jamaal Charles is going to be enough. You know, they got a tight end there, Kelsey, who's really flashing his rookie year, and they've got a running back. But, boy, no outside receivers you have to contend with. A quarterback who isn't willing or able to complete the ball downfield against the Dick LeBeau defense. I don't think this is a good matchup for the Chiefs.
With Jason Lacanfora, he's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Just a couple more with you. We've talked about coaches. We talked about Mark Trestman. We've talked about Jim Harbaugh in terms of, you know, very likely they won't be back next year. And like, what about Philbin in Miami? What about some of these other coaches that might be on the hot seat? Anybody that jumps off the page to you right now that we should be looking at?
Yeah, I think there's six that are more or less certain. You know, in the AFC, you've got obviously Oakland, where they've got an interim coach and have for quite some time. You've got the Jets, where it's no one's even trying to fight the fact that Rex Ryan will be let go, you know, what, 16 days from today? Or no, not even that many. What, 10 to 9 days from today? And then Miami as well. I don't believe Joe Philbin will be back. I'd be absolutely stunned if he is. And then in the NFC, we've got San Francisco, which we know. We've got the Bears situation, which we've touched on. And I believe Atlanta would have to win a playoff game and maybe even games plural for Mike Smith to keep the reins there. So those are the six that I would say, you know, I'd be shocked if they don't happen. And then you've got another tier, you know, like the Giants. What does Tom Coughlin do? 3 weeks ago, I would have said, boy, they may push him out the door. Now, I don't know. I'm not so sure. I would tend to think if he wants to keep doing this, and he acts like he does, then I think he will be back there. You know, how does Carolina finish? I think Ron Rivera is safe, but, you know, you never know. You know, we want to see how that team can finish and what they can string together at the end. You know, I'm trying to think of, there's definitely a couple other situations where I would say, you know, stay tuned. You know, I don't think Jacksonville will do anything, even though they only have 3 wins. Next year is really the make or break year for them. You know, Tampa and Tennessee are having miserable years, but there's, you know, experienced coaches making big money in the first year of their contract. I don't see them actually doing anything there. And Washington, people will talk about, but same thing. I mean, now that's not an experienced coach. That's a rookie coach in his first year who's obviously had his share of issues, you know, with whatever, quarterbacks and you know, otherwise. But again, I don't see Dan Snyder giving him $16 to $20 million to go bye-byes. I think what he's going to have to do there is learn to live with RG3 as one of the highest paid number three quarterbacks in the league or whatever he turns out to be when they add, you know, quarterbacks to their system next year. But I think Gruden and Griffin are both back in Washington.
So anybody, like, who are, in your eyes, for sure not back next year?
Those six, those first six. I mean, I
All six of those? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the three in the AFC, those three in the NFC. I'd be shocked if any of those coaches is back. You know, and then will there be one or two things that happen outside of those? You know, you never know. Like Tennessee, I think Ken Wisenhunt's okay. Their general manager, Rustin Webster, you know, I'm not so sure. There could be one or two other situations where maybe the GM is gone and the coach stays. But by and large, I think, you know, on average, I think the average is about 6.5 coaches per year. I would set the over-under right at six. Those six, I think, will happen. And then, again, we've seen in this league where, you know, somebody does something late or there's a blow up or something happens that, you know, no one thought would. You know, and I would keep an eye on New Orleans. Not that he would be fired, but I just wonder if Sean Payton starts looking forward at that team. You know, he's a Bill Parcells disciple. One thing Parcells always knew was it's better to get out too early than too late. And I just wonder if there's a team out there that might be willing to trade for his contract. And if maybe he and the Saints were to say, or especially him to say, you know what, I might be ready to move on. I'd couch it as a a very outside possibility, but there are certainly little ripples and rumblings of things along those lines that you hear out there. Again, I don't think it would happen, but I'll be keeping an ear out.
You're a good man, as always, Jason. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, man. Talk to you guys next week.